To God be the glory for the great things that he has done. We're grateful for the choir. We're grateful for the prayer. We're grateful for the scripture. We're grateful for all that has transpired in the service heretofore. I want to give a brief introduction to one of our associate ministers who certainly needs no introduction. The Reverend William E. Coleman is our guest preacher for this morning worship service, and there's much to say about his ecclesial and his civic career, but the most important thing that he would want us to know is that he loves the Lord Jesus, he loves his wife, and he loves his family. Amen. He has served as an associate minister here for much of the tenure that I've been here over the last 17 years. I think when he first came, he was sitting out in the audience, and the Lord called him a little higher to be a deacon, and the Lord called him higher to be an associate minister, and the Lord called him higher, a licensed minister, and the Lord called him higher to be an ordained clergy. And in these various capacities, the Reverend Coleman has served God's church well. He has served as the interim pastor for three different churches in our American Baptist Churches system of New Jersey. And so the first interim pastorship God had him serve was for 2.5 years at the First Park Baptist Church in Plainfield. And then the Lord moved him for 2.5 years to the First Baptist Church of Long Branch. And then for 3 years thereafter, he served as the interim pastor of the Second Baptist Church of Asbury Park. And he has served those churches well because the role of an interim pastor is to get the church ready for the permanent pastor and to make sure the church is healthier than when he first got there, so that when the permanent pastor comes, they then take over a healthier church. And the Reverend Coleman has done that not once, not twice, but three times. And each of these churches would say they were better after the Reverend Coleman left than when the Reverend Coleman came to them as the interim. But that's just a small part of his overall service to our statewide American Baptist Church of New Jersey. For 22 years, if he wasn't serving as an interim pastor, he served our convention in various capacities and pulpit supply for Sunday morning in our churches that were vacant and going through searches, as well as the founder and head of what we call our American Baptist Corporation, which is our 501c3 nonprofit organization affiliated with the American Baptist Churches of New Jersey. He has a background in law enforcement. Many of you who know him know that he served as a law enforcement officer, a police detective in the New York City Police Department. He has served as a crisis counselor and conflict resolution specialist and so many other areas, both in civic life as well in religious life. He is married to the love of his life, our Honorable Congresswoman Bonnie Watson Coleman, who is here today with us. Give God a praise offering. The first black woman to ever be elected to the United States House of Representatives from the great state of New Jersey. And so together they are the proud parents and of three wonderful children and their most beautiful granddaughter, who is here with us today. And if she could raise her hand, she would, but she is looking at us. Amen. And so he would say that, as I said earlier, he loves God, he loves his wife and his family, and he loves serving God's people. I called him affectionately the first spouse down in Washington, D.C., because when he's not supporting and being the biggest cheerleader for his wife, the Honorable Congresswoman, he is convening other spouses of other congresspeople, and they are doing great things. There is actually an organization for spouses, is that right? Spouses of congresspersons. So I want you to give God a big praise offering for the first spouse of the congresswoman of our district, the 12th Congressional District, the first spouse of the 12th Congressional District, my brother, our friend, the Reverend William E. Coleman. He is soon to be called the Reverend Dr. William E. Coleman, as he is working on a Doctor of Ministry at Wellesley School of Theology down in Washington, D.C. So he is finding time to keep himself busy, but also keep himself well-oiled for service in the Lord's kingdom. Amen. Put your hands together. Give the Lord a big praise offering for the Reverend William E. Coleman. Won't you come, Reverend Coleman? Give us what the Lord has given you. What? Stretch your hands towards the pulpit and say, Lord, bless me, teach me, convict me through the words of this your servant, Reverend Coleman. In Jesus' name, Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Jesus is real. I know the Lord is real to me. Oh, oh, Jesus is real. I know the Lord is real to me. Oh, sometimes when I'm feeling low, nowhere to go, Jesus come along and he makes me strong. Oh, I know. Let's do that one more time. Jesus is real. I know the Lord is real to me. Hey, oh, oh, oh. Jesus is real. I know the Lord is real to me. Ha. Well, sometimes when I'm feeling down, woo, no one around, Jesus is a friend that I found. Woo. Oh, oh, oh. I just want to do that. I had to do that. I just had to do that. I couldn't help myself. You know, I said I wasn't going to get up here and act up, but I told the lady downstairs, I said, you know how I am. You know when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, sometimes you just can't help yourself. You got to get up and say, I know the Lord is real. How many of you know the Lord is real? How many of you know that he can make all things possible? How many of you know that he woke you up this morning, started you on your way? How many of you know that the Lord can make a way out of no way? Can I get a witness to that? I don't know about you, but I remember one day the sun had refused to shine on my sinful soul. I prayed both day and night that Jesus would make a way. And then one day he heard my humble prayer. Then he answered, and there one day he made a way out of no way. Pastor, I stopped by to tell you this way that Jesus is a way maker. He makes a way out of no way. Sometimes we don't know how to act, but Jesus is the reason for the season. I stopped by to tell you this morning that Jesus is what makes us all go. There's no healing without Jesus. This morning I want to speak to the topic, the issue of blood. But let me just take the moment to thank my pastor who allows us to come into the pulpit to share a word with you. But more importantly, he is my pastor. He did say that he did all those things. But let me tell you the walk. I was sitting out in the pews, and the choir at that time wanted to quit. So what Pastor Wilson said, I want a choir. I got up and went up and joined the choir. My wife said, you can't sing. But the Lord said, go up and work together to share a word. So it started that way, Pastor Armstrong, that I was in the pulpit behind Reverend Woodson. He'd make me get up and pray. I don't know how to pray. He said one day, he said to me, boy, get on up there and just speak to the Lord. So I know a little bit about that. And then he made me a deacon. See, be careful how you open your mouth, because you get a job. He made me a deacon, and I loved being a deacon because I was right there where the rubber hits the road. Up here is the nosebleed section. But down there with the deacons is where the rubber hits the roads. See, the deacons are the ones who are supposed to pastor, make the sheep come along. See, shepherds don't make sheep. Sheep make sheep. Pastor bring the word, but the deacons and the deaconesses and all of you, you bring the word. But then I was moving along, happy being a deacon, happy being the chair of the men's ministry, doing all those things. And Pastor Wilson said, go up there and tell them that the Lord has called you to spread the gospel. I go, I don't want to do that. He said, go ahead up there. I went up there, and the brothers can hear, attest to it. Some of them are still deacons. And I went before them, and I said, the Lord has called me. And they said, who? Called you? And then I realized that it was my calling, not their calling. That the Lord had called me to press on, to study, to show myself approved. And that's where my life has led me. But this morning, I want to speak to you on the topic of the issue of blood. And it was taken from the Gospel of Luke. Now, Luke was a doctor, a Greek, and a Christian. He is the only known Gentile author in the New Testament. And as a medical doctor, Luke knew the importance of a thorough checkup. How many of you have had a thorough checkup lately? Just thought I'd throw it out there to you. See, Luke used his skills and observations and analysis to do a complete investigation of the story of Jesus. And please stand with me this morning as we read Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 48. Please stand with me and listen to the Holy Word this morning. And it reads like this. On the other side of the lake, the crowd welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, leader of the local synagogue, somebody say synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. And as Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. A cloud of a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding and could not find a cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble, fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him, and that she was immediately healed. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." The word of the Lord. Amen. May you be seated in the presence of the Lord. The birth and growth of Jesus is in the Gospel of Luke. I want to share with you some thoughts. In Luke chapter 4, after Jesus had resisted the temptation of Satan, he went to the synagogue and he read scriptures from the book of Isaiah, the prophet. He read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has appointed me to teach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to announce that the captives shall be released and the blind shall see. That the downtrodden shall be freed for their oppressors, and that God is ready to give blessing to all who come to him." Now, fast forward to Luke chapter 8, verse 43 through 48, we find Jesus preaching, teaching, and healing. And I chose this sermon because I'm working on my doctorate at Wesley Theological Seminary, and the subject is faith, health, and community. It's important to have faith in all that you do. But if you want healing to take place, there must be faith, and you must believe that it's going to be all right. I want to draw on the story of Jesus and the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. And this woman with the issue of blood stopped Jesus in his tracks. Jairus was a lay leader in the local synagogue and a highly visible and respected leader. His daughter was dying, so he humbled himself and begged Jesus to come and heal his daughter. Now, there was a crowd around Jesus, and in that crowd that pressed the Lord on every side, there was this poor woman. And I want you to think of this term woman in terms of someone trying to get to Jesus. Don't get caught up on the blood part. Get up on the fact that she didn't quit. She kept on pushing. No matter what happened, no one could stop her. They looked at her. They just didn't like her, but she didn't worry about that. Some of us know what that's about. Walk in and file an application, and they put it at the bottom of the pile. But you press on. Now, there was this crowd around Jesus, and I suppose this is just supposition. She was probably a Gentile. She was an outcast, but Jesus, the Son of God, brought his party to a sudden halt. He just stopped because he felt something. Because of her loneliness and illness had put all heavens in rage, and God sent his son for her alone, just for her at that moment. Sometimes when you call on Jesus, he just speaks to you. I know he's powerful. He touches everybody. But whoa, when I'm preaching, when I'm praying to Jesus, and he gets tired, he said, I'm so tired, Coleman, keep preaching. Yeah, I keep begging, Lord, help our country. Lord, straighten this mess out. Stop him from tweeting. Oh, God. Oh, sorry. But then I got to tell you, let me back up. This woman had an issue of blood for 12 years. And she had spent her time going to physicians, and none could heal her. She was seen as unclean and set apart. Are we going to make America white again? I keep slipping off here. Sorry, Pastor, help me, help me. Everything that she sat upon was unclean. Everybody who touched her had to wash themselves, but she was prepared to put her life on the line. She was not allowed to walk the street. She could not walk upright. She was crawling around on her hands and knees. She had to disguise her face. She was shunned. The crowd was around Jesus. The crowd sees Jesus as just an option, but she saw Jesus as her only option. I tell you, sometimes we wake up, all we know is Jesus. No food in the house, no job, but we know Jesus. Car won't start, but we know Jesus. And sadly, many, like those who were on that crowd around Jesus, curious, but not really interested in a personal relationship with Jesus. See, some of us come to church every Sunday for 40 years. We still haven't found Jesus yet. Get out of my parking space. Don't sit in my seat. I sit on the corner every Sunday. But don't ask me about nothing about what's in the Bible. Don't talk about that. I let the pastor talk about that. That's his job. Well, I got to tell you, the pastor can't do it by himself. He spreads the word. You share the word. You read the word. You come to work fired up because you know Jesus. All he does is put a bow on and send you home. But it's when you get home that you got to say, what am I going to do? How am I going to deal with this? I need Jesus all the time. I need to be able to put my hands on my grandchild and say, Lord, heal her right now. To touch my son and say, Lord, touch him, heal him right now. Why do I know that? Because I know Jesus. He's a healing Jesus. He takes good care of me. So he sends that Holy Spirit. Remember when he was up in that upper room and he said, I'm going to leave my spirit with you. Well, you still have that spirit. All you got to do is share it. It's there in you. All you got to do is say, in the name of Jesus. Let me just touch you right now. There was something about the name Jesus. And she had crawled beneath their legs in order to get to his garment. She was polluted and untouchable like someone who had leprosy. But she dared to touch this man called Jesus. Now, let me remind you that anyone she touched became unclean. But she knew that if there was one man she could touch, it would be Jesus. She knew that her uncleanliness would not make her unclean, but I can just see her trying to press forward. Can I get a witness? Just pressing forward. If I can just get up this morning. The devil said, don't go to church this morning. Stay in the bed and get ready for the football game. Get up and go to shop right early in the morning. No. If I can just touch the hem of the garment. I got to go to the Home Depot. I don't have time to go to church. Well, suppose God said, I'm not going to put any more oxygen in your lungs this morning. Suppose he said that I'm not going to let you walk anymore because your knees. Suppose he took away all of that. That's why I get scared when the devil says, don't. I said, mm-mm. Because some mornings you wake up in arthritis and rheumatism and all those isms just won't let you move. But you got to say, devil, get out of my way. I got to press on. I want to touch the hem of his garment. And so I walked up out here to tell you that Jesus will purify you. That he will clean you up. His cleanliness will make you clean. And his holiness will make your body whole. I stopped out here to tell you that there is a way that nobody can change. All you got to do is trust in the Lord. So here she had no one to speak on her behalf. This poor woman was pressing on. Just her faith. She wasn't like Jairus. She wasn't a ruler. She wasn't like Nicodemus who could slip in the night to see Jesus. And the Bible doesn't even give her a name. But Jesus, if you remember, Nahum, the leper in 2 Kings 5:11, wanted someone to come and heal them. But the woman with the issue of blood went looking for Jesus. How many of us get up going looking for Jesus? Now, I'm going to wait till Jesus come. Well, keep on waiting. But you go looking for him. Because Jesus is the reason that we're here today. So she persevered. She pressed through and overcame obstacles. Some of us have obstacles in our lives. Yeah, we create obstacles just so we can run around them. Hallelujah. I know I'm talking about somebody. If I unloose your shoes, so if I'm stepping on your toes, I don't want to hurt your feet this morning. She pressed through the crowd, and I can imagine that once she was noticed, people got out of her way. You know, when you walk into church and haven't showered and didn't brush your teeth, people just get out of the way. I just give them a mint. Here you go. There's a mint. You know, like, take the mint, brother. You have halitosis. Get it together. But don't push them away. But she kept her focus on Jesus, and she demonstrated for us her faith and confidence in Jesus by her sheer determination. Sometimes in your family, your determination makes you the holy roller. They look at you. Can I get a witness? They look at you and said, oh my goodness, she's always talking about Jesus. She's always praying. She's always on her knees. I can't even eat because she's praying. Let me just get the prayer over with, will you please? But I got to tell you, when you know Jesus, you got to speak about it. When you know what he's done for you in your life, you got to talk about it. He bought you from a mighty long ways, then you don't. But you don't want to look back. Well, I got to tell you, look back sometimes. So you can say, if he brought me this far, oh, hallelujah. There must be something to the name Jesus. Do you have a problem? A physical or spiritual condition that has bothered you for years? Have you tried everything you knew to do and yet the problem got worse? Some of us have been there where this woman was with this issue of blood, dealing with issues that just would not go away. And you just kept right on pushing. And it's embarrassing to go to the doctor and get all talk to him and come home only to return with these expensive prescriptions. Yet, little hope. I remember standing in line in the drugstore, and this brother in front of me was getting his prescriptions, $180 he was paying for his prescriptions. He had to decide between prescription or rent, prescription or gas for the car. So I got to tell you that sometimes it's just tough when you have an issue. Then this message from God is for you. See, the passage tells of a woman who was an outcast from society because of the Jewish laws in Leviticus chapter 15 that declared her unclean. And this meant that she would not have been permitted to enter the temple for Jewish religious ceremonies. And Luke 8, verse 44 says, she came up behind him and touched. Somebody said touched. The edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Now interpret that all the ways you want, but I'm saying that when you wake up one morning and you find Jesus, then the mess gets out of the way. Then the issues stop bothering you. Then you don't worry about what's going on. You said, here are the things I can control, and here are the things I can't. Oh God, give me the strength to deal with those that I can't. Don't let me roll up in a corner, roll over in a ball like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Get up. Let the Lord lead you. The bleeding stopped. Not only did God give Jesus extraordinary power, but he gave it to Paul in Acts 19:11. Paul was in Ephesus and God did miracles through Paul. Verses 11 and 12. I don't want you to think I made this stuff up. You can look it up when you go home. See, this is only about 28 minutes, but I want you to go home and do this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and come back so the pastor can give you a new dose on Sunday. Amen? See, you gotta be ready. He said, Pastor, I was dead up into Acts all weekend. I checked it out. Yeah. I want to ask you on Monday, what did the pastor preach about on Sunday? You know what made me excited? And when I was passing in an Asbury Park, the one woman came up to me the next Sunday. She said, yeah, I checked out your sermon last Sunday. I still like it. I'm going like, she still remember? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody, Lord, you did something right. when they remember it from Sunday to Sunday, or remember it on Monday, most folks go out to the parking lot and forgot. Oh, I'm not talking about you this morning. But I'm sorry, Pastor. You know, you're the pastor. I only get to preach once in a while, so I get to talk about everybody. Okay, amen. So. But God gave Paul the ability, even with a handkerchief and an apron, Pastor, so they could heal people when they went home. What a blessing that is, that taking care of the illnesses, even though not there. I tell you, our God is awesome. As soon as the woman touched Jesus, her blood stopped, her bleeding stopped, and she knew she had been healed. So in an instant, Jesus did what no doctor had done in all those years. Now, this proves the power of Christ, but it also illustrates an important point I would like to make. It is about Jesus and the law. See, in the law in Leviticus 15:31, God says you must keep Israel, the Israelites, separate from things that make them unclean, so they will not die in their uncleanliness for defiling my dwelling place, which is among them. In the Old Testament, the temple was where God dwelt among the Israelites. But there is always a but. But in the New Testament, God dwelt among men in the person of Jesus Christ. Look it up in John 1:14. Jesus reversed the penalty of the law, and the contamination of this world had no effect on Christ. See what I'm saying? See, the woman did not make Jesus unclean. Jesus made her clean. Now, I can imagine people were pushing and pressing up against him from all over. Yet he stopped and turned and said, "Who touched me?" I stopped by here to tell you this morning that if some of you are like the woman with no name, if you are having physical issues, if you are having financial issues, if you are having family issues, press on and reach out to Jesus. Stop calling your cousin who said, "Yeah, child, I know what you're going through. I know." That's just digging a hole deeper. "I'm not feeling good today because he didn't get a job." "I know, kick him out. He didn't get no job." I'm telling you today, reach out to Jesus. Stop listening to your cousin who doesn't have a job. Don't let anyone stop you from placing your hand in the hands of the man who stilled the waters. Put your hand in the hand of the man who calms the sea. Take a look at yourself, and you can look at others differently by putting your hand in the hands of the man from Galilee. I didn't make this up. Loretta Lynn did that. Don't look at me. This is from the song in Loretta Lynn. Oh, yeah. See, I try to do what the pastors do. I use it from wherever I can find it. Amen. If it fits here in the church, amen. If the shoe fits, wear it. And this woman with the issue of blood was at the end of the rope. She was desperate. She had nothing else to lose. She had lost her self-esteem. I want to tell you that my God is an awesome God. He hears your call. Now he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. And sometime I said, "Pastor, can you make that time right now?" You know, he may not come when you want him, but sometime I have an urgency here. I said, "Lord, I prayed all night." He said, "I know you kept me up." Kept praying. He said, "Can you help me out in his time?" You got to know that sometimes the Lord is trying to tell you something when you don't do what you want when you want it to be done. Jesus knows our every need. We just have to reach out and have faith that the Spirit of the Lord is sufficient to heal. Now, maybe 2,000 years ago, prior to Jesus meeting his disciples in the upper room, the story would have been different. Those around Jesus would have pushed aside this woman as they tried to do, but her faith kept her pressing. I want you to know that no matter what the issue is in life, Jesus can fix it. And some of us are a testament today. When he was doing the intercessory prayer, he said, "I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be." And I was waiting for everybody to jump up and do a spin like this, because everybody can attest to that. "Lord, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be." It's because along the way, I met a man named Jesus. And everybody's waiting to see what he looks like. Well, I got to tell you, Jesus is love. Along the way, I learned how to love. I learned how to share. I learned how to cry. I learned how to weep. I learned how to get on my knees and say, "Lord, I don't know it all, I don't want to know it all, but send me somebody who knows it all so I can have a life with you, oh God. Years ago, I said to the Lord, Lord, send me a woman who loves the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about anything else, but she has to love you, oh God. She may love diamonds, she may love you, but she has to love you, oh God. And if she loves you, that's enough. Because we can make this work if she loves you. It is only faith that releases healing. And sometimes when I'm down, that's why you need a partner that's in your step with you, Pastor. You can't have someone to drag behind like this. That won't work. You need someone who's in lockstep with you. Someone, and you need to be in lockstep with him. There's no such thing as me. It's about us. It's a we. And if you're in lockstep, then the Lord will bless you all the time. He gets confused when, as I got mine, you get yours, is going on. But I always tell people, I tell men every day, I know it's near holidays and gets you in trouble, but I got to tell you, that's why they made florist shops, jewelry shops. Just thought I'd tell you. That's why they made that. And ladies, that's why they made florist shops and jewelry shops also as well. There's nothing wrong with giving a rose to someone without being told. Amen? Nothing wrong with saying, I love you, without them saying, you didn't tell me you love me today. Come on now. If you woke up this morning and you heard them snore all night, you can say, baby, I love you. She heard you snore. Just sorry, that's just a counseling session. Let me get back. I see it all the time. When you've been around as long as I've been around, there's some things I got to remind you guys of that is important. Holding her hand once in a while is all right. All your ask your hands up and hold her hand. It's all right. A hug is good stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. Stop the bleeding. Stop the bleeding. But I said, you know I love you. Well, you stood up here and you said, rich or for poor, sickness and in health, and now you want to sit on the right side of the car going home. What's wrong with that picture? Jesus wants us to be together as one. As one. And she was pushed aside. No one liked her. And it's not the church. The pastor that heals, but it is one's faith. If you know and you love the Lord, then everybody else around you is just part of the package. I love the Lord, so I got to love you. God loves me, so I have to love you. I know that the story is powerful today. It speaks to you having faith, never giving up, and it says that everyone is precious in God's sight. Can I get a witness here? I know you expect me to come in and say, well, I'm working on my doctorate and I'm trying to do all this, but I'm not going to change telling you what God said to tell you. Somebody touched me. And when she touched his garment, she was healed. God honored her faith. Thank you, Jesus. It appears when the Lord heals that he does it in fiat, by real authority. When he heals, it's official order given to someone with power, an order that must be followed absolute when the Lord heals. Some of you can understand this morning when they said, we don't know what's going to happen to you. You may have a few days to live and you're still here. Nothing but Jesus. Jesus has the final word. Doctors are with you. I get that. Nurses are with you. I get that. And it said, let it be done. He speaks the word. The sick is healed. That's in Luke 4, 38, 39. Then just say the sentence and the lepers are clean. Luke 5, 12, 13. Just utter a word and those are possessed are delivered. I stop by here to tell you that when you're down and out sometimes, when you're feeling bad, my grandmama used to say, just recite the 23rd Psalm under your breath. Just do it under your breath. When the devil is acting up in a meeting, when the devil is acting up at home across the kitchen table, when the devil is in the car, just start, the Lord is my shepherd. I need somebody here. Help me, Lord, before I slap somebody. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's the one who guides me. So I want to just use that. Don't worry about the person that goes off the deep end. I'm getting old, the dementia's setting in. Don't worry about that. The Lord is my shepherd. There was a young woman who went swimming, a young man who went swimming in deep water the other day. His mother and father are standing on the bank. When they looked up, their young man was about to drown. Something had happened while he was trying to swim, and he was going down. And the father got excited, got nervous, and the father couldn't swim. His name must have been Bill Coleman, because I can't swim. Now you know how it is when you're standing by and wanting to do something for your child, and you're helpless. So the father looked around, and he saw this rope, and he took the rope, and he threw it. Hallelujah. And he said, "Son, catch a hold of the rope." The young man caught the rope. The father started to pull him in, but he saw the rope was breaking. And the son cried out to the father, "Father, my rope is breaking." The father replied to the son by saying, "Reach beyond the break and hold on." Look at someone and tell them, "Reach beyond the break and hold on." And that's what I want to tell you this morning. That your hope, the rope of hope is almost broken. Your rope of faith is almost broken. Your rope of patience is almost broken. But reach beyond the break. And here's the laughter. I don't put the top down enough in the bathroom, but reach beyond the break. Now you understand that one. The women say, "Oh, hallelujah, he just hit a nerve." I didn't pick up my socks this morning off the floor, but reach beyond the break. I left the coffee cup on the table and didn't wash it up, but reach beyond the break. But reach. Hold on. Hold on and don't let go your faith. You need to hold on. You need to hold on a while longer. This is Advent season. Just hold on. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roar. Felt the sin maker singing. He was trying to tumble my spirit. But I heard a voice for Jesus. He was telling me to fight on. He said, "Hold on, hold on, hold on, and don't let go of your faith." Let me tell someone one more time here this morning. Reach beyond the break and hold on. And weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. So hold on. Let the woman with the issue of blood, let her hold on in your own way, whatever is going on. Our Father is on the other end. He will see you through. I stopped by here to tell you today that no matter what you're going through, He will see you through. And I'm speaking to someone here today, and I knew all week that I had to preach this sermon because I know it spoke to me. Don't wait until you're desperate to take your problems to Jesus. Overcome your fear of what others might say and take your stand with Him. Some of us don't speak up. We don't shout about Jesus because that's too unsophisticated. We don't talk about the goodness of the Lord because I can't do that. I love the Lord. No, I love the Lord. Woke me up this morning, started me on my way. I can talk about that. He stopped the crowd to find out who was touching him. I just want him to know that I'm always reaching to touch him. And he knows he's so powerful, all of us can reach at the same time. The Bible said power had gone out from him, but Jesus wanted the woman to identify herself and receive more than physical healing. Well, what do you mean, preacher? Well, Jesus wanted her to receive spiritual healing as well. And he wanted to make her whole to return to her normal social relationship and worship. You can understand that. I remember when I was at Second Baptist, there's this one deacon, that female deacon that I ordained, who's really busy. She helps the homeless. She helps the seniors. She runs the Cub Scouts. She's in the middle of everything. And everybody used to go, "Oh, yeah, here she comes." So every chance I got, Pastor, I brought her up front. Every chance I got, I put her right up front and said, see, she is unselfish. She is selfless. She loves the Lord. She does what the Lord works. What I was trying to say was go and do likewise, but I didn't want to tell him that. So what I wanted to say was that she loved the Lord. And no matter if they didn't like her the way she was, she still didn't stop. I used to tell her, "Don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. Don't stop serving the Lord. Don't stop preaching. Don't stop teaching. Don't stop helping. Don't let your neighbor, your friend, or your homeboy stop you from praising the Lord." And as I finish to go to my seat, see, Pastor, I'm so nervous when I come to Shiloh. I have to time my sermons because I got to get up out of here. So let me just say this. The same one who will one day judge the nation and pronounce his verdict on many empires, Lord and maker of heaven, paused for a moment. Yes, he did. Then he claimed here in Luke 8:48, he spoke to her in a loving way. He said, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Jesus put her at ease with his gentle tone, but he also let her know that her faith, not his garment, healed her. She came for healing and she received it, but she received more. She received a relationship and peace with God because of her faith. How many of you know that when you put your faith in God, he will give you peace? And the same Jesus is knocking at your door and my door today. Are you sick and in bondage? Here is your opportunity. Don't let it pass. Jesus has, he's come for you. Finally, my brothers and sisters, the scripture states in the Old Testament that if you will serve the Lord, he will bless your bread and your water and take sickness away in the midst of you. Exodus 23. See, faith is not something that you do, but something that you believe Jesus will do. Amen? Can I get a witness to that? The Bible states that faith is the substance, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So her new faith talked in Mark 5:28. If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Now, that is faith talk. Amen. That thought filled her hope with faith. Her faith produced a new faith image of being whole. Now, if Jesus healed all those that came to him for physical healing in the Bible, won't he do the same for me and you? I read somewhere that it said Jesus healed them and that they had need of healing. All that had need, Jesus healed them. But here's the kicker. If you don't know Jesus, you don't understand the healing. You could, Jesus comes, but if you don't know Jesus, not happening. So I stop by here to say, don't give up. Don't quit. You keep walking, keep crawling, keep running, keep trying, keep causing, trying to cause those to help and happiness, bring about happiness wherever you are. I tell you, I'm a living witness. And when I said that, I could hear Reverend Woodson in the back of my head. I'm sorry. He said, let me tell you something. That weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Wait with prayer. Wait with love. Wait, I tell you. Press on. Hallelujah. Press on. He's a way maker. He's a healer. Can I get a witness? If you know Jesus is real, can you stand with me and give him a praise? If you know he's real, can you stand this morning? If you know he's real, that he woke you up this morning, can't you stand? As you wait for the Advent, know that Jesus is real. Amen.
Everyone standing to their feet. The gospel has gone forth. We've heard the preacher talk about what Jesus will do when you seek him. And I believe the Bible says, seek and you will find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. If you have faith, this grain of a mustard seed, the Lord can do, and take that little bit and do an amazing, miraculous work in your life. I want everybody to pray with me before we extend this invitation. Father, we thank you for the message that has come forth today. A reminder of a nameless woman with a seemingly hopeless situation, with throngs of people standing in front of her way. But somehow, some way, she was able to press her way through the obstacles and press her way to get to Jesus. I pray today that there may be a man, woman, boy, or girl who is in need of a healing. And for some reason, they are going to move obstacles out of their way so they can press their way to you. I ask right now, Lord, that you would touch that one man, that one woman, that one boy, that one girl who has things impeding their progress. But Lord, give them strength to keep moving and pressing on towards the upward call, the mark of Jesus, the upward call of God through Jesus Christ. So Lord, have your way right now. Save one, save some. Have your way. Convict us all that we may have a closer walk with you today. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray it. Let the people of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen, amen, and amen. Deacons, deaconess, clergy, help me extend the invitation to discipleship today. If there is someone here who has never made a personal profession of faith, I want to give you this opportunity to do that today. That you would come and give us your hand and give God your heart. If there is someone today who has never got it right with the Lord, this is your chance to get it right with God. The rest of the day is not guaranteed. Tomorrow is not promised. We want to give you this chance today while you have the opportunity to get Jesus. Anyone here today? Anyone here today? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. God bless you. God keep you. Come on. To Christ. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together and give the Lord.